You know, I'm sure that everyone that has gathered here this morning has heard this saying before. And the reason I'm saying that is because it's been ingrained in our society's thinking, the way that we are thinking. And that saying is, nice guys finish last. And I've heard it for years. And I think majority of us probably have heard the same thing, that nice guys finish last. And I can remember when I was in high school, still in high school, won't say how many years ago that's been, but when I was still in high school, had after school jobs, and went to a couple different jobs. I used to work in a restaurant for one day in Grinnell, because I was a dishwasher there. And then I also worked at a lumber yard in Grinnell. And I didn't think it was above and beyond, you know, what I was supposed to be doing, but like, for example, when I was doing the dishes, you know, I made sure everything was all dried and everything was in order and on the shelves and stuff like that. And I remember a coworker coming up to me and said, Dennis, you know, you don't need to be doing that. I mean, you know, you just don't need to be doing that. Well, okay, I'm sorry, you know, and stuff. And then as I got older and I got into what they call the working world, the same thing. I had people telling me, you know, that I was, lack of a better term, I was too nice. And by being too nice, they says, you know, by you being too nice, Dennis, people are going to take advantage of you. They're going to walk all over you. Because you have to be tough. The tough guy is going to win. You have to be tough. Or they're going to walk all over you. They're going to have you do things that are not in your job description for the same amount of money. And I'll vouch for this. When I worked for Grinnell Mutual, I had so many lateral moves and no increase in pay. More duties, more responsibilities, same amount of money. Why do you do that? I want to keep a job, I guess, or whatever. But anyway, they always told me, Dennis, you're just too nice, and people are going to walk all over you. But that saying about nice guys finishing last, it's more modern than you may even realize. And because the phrase came from a baseball player and a manager. And when I threw out the name Leo DeRocher, there's a lot of people that's going like this. Because Leo DeRocher is the one that said that nice guys finish last. But Leo DeRocher, I think I'm pronouncing his last name correctly, DeRocher. He was also known as Leo the Lip. And Leo, he passed away in 1991. But for 24 years of his life, Leo played for or was part of the Brooklyn Dodgers, the Chicago Cubs, and the Houston Astros. Now, I don't know if we have any sports enthusiasts in the crowd, or if that's their team or not their team, or whatever the case may be, but Leo was part of those three baseball teams in 24 years. You know, he must have been quite a guy. I wish I would have paid more attention when I was in high school and growing up about Leo DeRocher. I don't agree with everything he said, but he was probably quite an individual. Because he also said that winning requires toughness. If you're going to win at anything, you have to be tough. Like I was telling you about my coworkers that I used to work with. You have to be tough to make it in this world where people are going to be walking all over. And he says, this winning that we're talking about, it requires toughness, even ruthlessness. Even ruthlessness. And Leo, being the guy that he is, he went on later on and he says, "You show me a good loser, I'll show you an idiot." That's him. I mean, that is Leo DeRozier. But clearly, after reading some of his comments and remarks, Mr. DeRozier was a fan of the idea that the word might makes it right. But a question, is his beliefs true? This morning I want to start out by talking about why does it seem that the wicked win? That's a question. And we're all faced with it each and every day in this world that we live in. But why does it seem that the wicked always win? I'm going to go to Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse number 15. I want to read this first. And it talks a little bit about this. But it reads here in verse 15 that I have seen everything during my lifetime of futility. There is a righteous man who perishes in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man who prolongs his life in his wickedness. Now that was Solomon talking about that. And that he noted after saying that, it just seems that the things are backwards. That we have a wicked man who prolongs his life in his wickedness, and a righteous man who perishes in his righteousness. It just seemed that things were backwards. You know, this also happened in Job's time. Let's go to the book of Job, chapter 9, beginning at verse number 22. And this is Job, and it says, "It is all one. Therefore, I say, he destroys the guiltless and the wicked. If the scourge kills suddenly, he mocks the despair of the innocent. The earth is given into the hand of the wicked. He covers the faces of its judges. If it is not he, then who is it?" You know, Job, he saw this, and he wondered how God could allow it to happen. And that's in Job 9, verses 22 to 24. Also in Job, it just seems as if nothing happens to the wicked. This time we're still in Job. Let's go over to chapter 21. And verse number 7. And it asks the question, why did the wicked still live? Continue on and also become very powerful. Like I was saying before, this day and age that we live in, we see it, we're exposed to it each and every day. That we have people that they seem just wicked as ever, but they're still got power, authority, money, land, whatever the case may be. But they're wicked in heart. I want to talk a little bit now about the futility of wickedness. You know, that was in the scripture reading this morning that Mark read. The wicked appear to flourish. They're just getting more and more and more and more. But the other thing that Mark read in his scripture this morning, they flourish like weeds. And like weeds, will soon be cut down like grass. And that was in the scripture reading this morning. Also, the wicked, they appear to prosper. They're doing good. They got all of this. All these physical items, all this wealth, whatever the case may be, they appear to prosper. But you know what? it won't last. Because now we're going to turn to Psalm 37. And the rest of my sermon, all the scriptures are coming from Psalm 37. And the reason I picked this is because this talks about the security of those who trust in the Lord and the insecurity of the wicked. Psalm 37 is dedicated to that. When it says it won't last, let's go to verse number 8 in Psalm 37, verse 8. And it reads here, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil doing. For evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. Yet a little while, and the wicked man will be no more. And you will look carefully for his place, and he will not be there. They appear to prosper, but it won't last forever. You know, the wicked people, they plot against the righteous. And they attack them. And we've been talking about that on Wednesday nights during Bible study. That one tribe will come to town and wipe out the other. I mean, take everything besides life and limb, possessions. They just take everything. But the Lord already sees their end. I'm talking about these wicked people. Still staying in Psalm 37, we're going to go down to verse number 13. Because it says here that the Lord laughs at them, for he sees the day is coming. This seizure is temporary. The Lord knows what's going to be happening in the future. You know, these wicked people, they oppress the weak. They oppress the weak. But their own attacks will come back on them. It will be coming back on them in the future. You know, it appears, like I said before, that they have an abundance. Let's go to verse number 16 now and see what it says about the abundance. It says, better is the little of the righteous than the abundance of many wicked. The wicked one, they will perish in the days of distress. Going down to verse number 20. It reads here, but the wicked will perish, and the enemies of the Lord will be like the glory of pastures. They vanish like smoke. They vanish away. They're not here forever. They will perish in their days of distress. You know, these wicked people, they take without returning. It's not like this day and age when you borrow the neighbor's lawnmower or hedge trimmer or whatever. You borrow it for a day or whatever, and you take it back to them. These folks took, kept, had no intention of even giving anything back to the people. And Mark has done an excellent job on that Wednesday night with regards to driving at home the fact that these people, they just took everything. They came into the city, came into the country, whatever the case may be, and they just wiped it clean. No intentions of giving anything back. You know, another thing about the wicked, they will spy on the righteous. They will spy on the righteous, and then they make plans to kill him. Let's see how this daily routine works for this righteous person, says the wicked man. And then when I catch him in a moment of weakness, I'll do him in. That is what the wicked will do. But the Lord will not let it happen. They will be cut off. We're still in Psalm 37, this time verse number 34. And this is an encouragement to each and every one of us that wait for the Lord and keep his way. And he will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. That's about the wickedness. The next thing I want to talk about is the success of the righteous. The success of the righteous. You know, God will give you your heart's desire. Now, when I say that, we're going to go to verse 3 and read 3 through 5 in Psalm 37. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also on him, and he will do it. Now, after reading that, I'm not telling you that everything you wish for, you're going to receive. For example, man, I wish I had a brand new car or I had a brand new truck. I'll go to God and see if I can get that. Don't work like that. Or how about a house? How about an elaborate house? I want a nice, nice house. It doesn't work like that. Or money. Nolan won the Powerball last night, apparently from the headlines that I saw this morning. So it's way up there again. And property? Well, chances are if you have property, lots of property, you're going to be able to take care of the money, the car, and the house if you have enough property. No, what I'm talking about here, it's about making God your greatest desire. Trusting him to work in your life and finding the satisfaction in him first. It's not getting these temporal things, these physical items. Making God your greatest desire. That's what it's all about. That's what we're talking about, your heart's desire. He will make your integrity shine through. If you are righteous, he will make your integrity shine through. And you know what? You will outlast the wicked and prosper. Let's go to verse number 9. It says, for evildoers will be cut off, but for those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. And skipping down to verse number 11, but the humble will inherit the land and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. You know, God, he sustains the righteous. And their inheritance is eternal. That's having a home in heaven with the Lord. Eternal. Always. Long time. Always. Eternal. The righteous also, they will not be ashamed in times of distress. You know that you can turn to the Lord. You're having a bad day, you're having a bad week, whatever the case may be. It's distressful. You're just pity party number one. You know, and you just say, nope. I'm going to turn to the Lord because I know that he will get me through this. He will take care of me. Another thing about the righteous, they might fall, but it won't be fatal. Let's go to Psalm 37 and verse number 24 here. It reads, when he falls, we're talking about the righteous person, when he falls, he will not be hurled headlong because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. He might fall, but it will not be fatal. Also, on the righteous man, his descendants are cared for. because they are preserved forever. Another thing on the righteous man, he doesn't slip. What's it say in verse 30 and 31? He doesn't slip. It says, the mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of his God is in his heart. His steps do not slip. Righteous man, he always has, the Lord is by him. That's got to be peace of mind, having the Lord being with you. Let's go down to verse number 33. It reads here that the Lord will not leave him in his hand or let him be condemned when he is judged. Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. That righteous man, he will have peace and prosperity. I can't think of anything better than that. Peace of mind means a whole lot. And why will he have that though, Dennis? Why will he have that peace and prosperity? Because the Lord helps him. The Lord will help him. I'd like to talk a little bit about this subject of waiting for God. Like I said before, I want you to notice that all through Psalm 37, the wicked might succeed, but what is promised is that their success is temporary. It will not be everlasting. It's just a temporary thing. But the righteous man, he might struggle with difficulties, and we all had those in our lives, the difficulties. But he outlasts the wicked and gains in the end. Let's talk a little bit how we can notice the encouragement that the Lord provides for us. First of all, it says, trust the Lord and do good. I don't have that marked on your sheet, but I think it was verses 3 and 5 in Psalm 37. Trust the Lord and do good. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently. Now that's in verse number 7, where it reads here that rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Wait patiently. You don't want to get angry. What's that going to do? Give you ulcers and a headache. Among other things, don't get angry, because what's it say in verse number 8? It says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil doing. Wait for the Lord. Depart from evil and do good. This is in verse number 27. It says, depart from evil and do good, so you will abide forever, and forever is a long time. Wait for the Lord and keep his way. Take refuge in God. Take refuge in God. What's it say in verse number 40? The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. You know, I think the problem too often is not that the righteous do not win in the end. It's that we give up too soon. We have to stay faithful from start to finish, that we give up too soon. We don't fully trust God will handle all of our problems. And it's easy to get caught up in that. I personally have gotten caught up in that. I don't know, Lord, I don't know how you're going to help me out of this. But lo and behold, prayers work. Prayers do work. Because once again, Wednesday night, one thing that I've definitely learned, who's in charge? God's in charge. There's no doubt about that. We kind of kid about the weather situation, you know, the last couple, 3 weeks, but who's in charge of that? Weatherman's just going to tell you what's going to come. God's in charge of that. You know, it's not true. It's not true that nice guys finish last. Because nice guys are winners before the game even starts. They believe in the Lord. In closing, I want you to remember, we just need to remain steadfast. What's that word steadfast mean? Being firm, unwavering, and devoted, and wait for God. That's my sermon for this morning. You know, we never want to close out a sermon without offering an invitation. That if there are things that are bothering you, things that you've had in this life, and I know it's tough. It really, really is tough. That you just need some help, some guidance. The prayers of the saints. Or if there's some that are in the audience that are not a Christian, would like to become one. We just have to hear Jesus. We have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Those sins that we've committed, we need to repent of those sins. We need to confess Jesus. Be baptized, fully immersed in water, for the forgiveness of their sins. And last, but certainly not least, be faithful always. We get caught up in the world. We just got to take a deep breath and say, not today, Lord. The devil's not going to get me today. You're with me. So if there's anything that we can do for anybody, we ask that you please come forward and sing the song of invitation that Mark has selected.